We want to go to 1 Corinthians this morning in chapter 12, and we're going to be looking at verse 10 and talking about three more gifts of the Spirit that God might use you in touching you with some of these gifts we're going to mention today. Last week we did prophecy. Prophecy is such a huge subject, we spent the whole sermon on that one gift. Today we're going to look at these three gifts, beginning in the center of verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 12. And we read about, first of all, the discerning of spirits. And second, it says to another, different kinds of tongues. And then the third one is to another, the interpretation of tongues. And so we want to talk first about the discerning of spirits. I don't know how many of you might know, but there's an old song that goes like this, and I won't try to put the melody, but just say the words. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There's a big smile on every face, and I know that it is the Spirit of the Lord. That, in a simple nutshell, is really the discerning of spirits. When we come and we sing to the Lord, and we begin to sense the presence of the Holy Spirit, and we then have a discernment in our hearts. Jesus is here. I can feel him. I can sense him. And, you know, I've been doing that all morning, is knowing that Jesus is here. As two or three or more are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of them. And so we have that discernment as Christians. Jesus is here. So what discerning of spirits is, very simply, is being able to tell the difference between when there's a good spirit present or a bad spirit present. Kind of a contrast, good and bad. The ability to discern or just tell the difference between good and bad and evil. Brother Marvin, when he first started going to Haiti, and we discussed this just yesterday or the day before, whenever we were together before, he actually got a hotel there in Haiti. And it so happened that the people that ran the hotel were really into voodoo. And of course, that was pretty prevalent in Haiti for many years. And so as he was there in the hotel, Pastor Marcel from our sister church, kind of our sister church over there in Haiti, and his wife Nicole came to dinner with Marvin. And they decided together, you know, Brother Marvin, we have to get you out of this place. This is not a good place. And they could all feel, you know, just that darkness because of the discerning of spirits, really, you know, to feel that the spirit of voodoo was there. And so then Brother Marvin moved home with Pastor Marcel to a very wonderful presence of the Lord place. What a joy it is to be there at their home. Because they have several kids that live with them, and you get to know them, and I remember playing thumb games with the kids. It's so fun, you know, the eternal language of just hand games. You know, you get out there with the kids, and you ever do this game, you know, and then this where you hold out your hands and try to slap, you know, you're not too hard on them, but they get pretty hard on you, you know. But anyway, great time, and you can feel the presence, the Spirit of God. And every night, those kids, when it's time for bed, they begin to sing praise songs. Oh, does it get any better than that? I don't think so. I mean, just the beauty of the Spirit of God being lifted up in praise and worship by these orphan boys who was there when we were there. And wonderful thing. So it's just the discernment of knowing between the good and the evil. Now, Solomon actually prayed for this. And let me read to you part of Solomon's prayer. Now, we know that Solomon asked for wisdom when God said, ask what you will. But this is part of his prayer, and it really brings out the discernment part. Solomon says, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9, Solomon prays and says, give thy servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I might discern between good and bad, that I might discern between good and bad. And so, again, seeing this contrast is the major thing in discerning of spirits. Also, we would like to go to the New Testament right now and take a look at a place that it talks about the meat of the word and its connection with discerning. The same Greek word that's used in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10 for discerning, the same exact Greek word, letter for letter, is used in the scripture that describes the meat of the Word of God. And so let's go now to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Hebrews is right after all the T's in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Hebrews 5:12. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. Now, there were some Christians that were written to in the book of Hebrews that were having trouble with spiritual growth. And actually, the way we grow is to stay in the Word. If you continue in my Word, said Jesus, then you are my disciples indeed. And we desire the sincere milk of the Word that we might grow thereby. And so when Christians get away from the Word of God, from daily devotions, from staying in the scriptures, from going to church and hearing the word, or stop turning or turn off the Christian radio stations and not listen to the preaching of the word on the radio or so forth, that is all lends itself to being stunted in your growth, being stunted in my spiritual growth, because it is through the milk of the word that we grow thereby. And so some of the folks had gotten into a place where they were still spiritual babies, where they ought to have been more mature in the Lord because of this fact. And so let's read about this. It says, "For when the time is that you should be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a baby, still a baby in Christ." And of course, we don't want to stay babies our whole lives. We want to grow up in the Lord. Amen? And so in verse 14, strong meat, the meat of the word, is defined in verse 14. It says, "But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, mature in Christ, even those who, by reason of use, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, by reason of use, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves, by reason of use, have their senses exercised," and here it is, to discern both good and evil. And again, this word is the exact same Greek word that's translated in 1 Corinthians 12:10, discerning, but here translated discern. And so being the same Greek word, we get the beauty of seeing teaching in the scriptures about the strong meat relating back to this discerning of spirits. You know, the more you're saturated in the Word of God, the more discerning you're going to be. You'll begin to discern by reason of use of the Word of God, your continuum in the Lord and in His Word, this wonderful gift. This is one of those gifts, the discerning of spirits, that I believe that God gives to every Christian. And it is sharpened and beautified and empowered through His Word as we stay in His Word together and individually, and then begin to use His Word from Monday to Friday, actually going ahead and becoming what He puts in our hearts and implants that deep word that springs up in our souls and in our being to be who He wants us to be. We're going to become more discerning, to discern both good and evil. And there we have those that contrast again in this scripture. Now, let's go to where the rubber meets the road. Three examples of Jesus actually rebuking three of His closest apostles, the inner three, Peter, James, and John. He had to rebuke all three of these men for not being discerning of spirits. And so let's take a look at the negative side first and then the positive side through the Apostle Paul. Now, this is all before the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so Jesus is instructing them, and he has to do that through rebuke, first to James and John. So let's go to chapter 9 of Luke, verse 54. So we go to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 9, and we look at verse 54. Now, Jesus and his disciples had come to a village in Samaria. Remember that the Samaritans had no dealings with the Jews? And so it was a very precious thing when Jesus reached out to the Samaritan woman, just including her in salvation. And when all the men and women came from the city, he ministered to them, because Jesus doesn't exclude anybody. But there was this rivalry between Samaria and Jerusalem, and actually claiming that God was worshipped on different mountains. And so when Jesus came to Samaria and they found out that he was bound for Jerusalem, they didn't receive him into their villages. And a couple of disciples really got mad about this. And so in verse 54 it says, when his disciples James and John saw this, that he was rejected from the Samaritan area, they said, "Lord, will you that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did?" And, you know, they're thinking back to the story in the Old Testament when God was bringing judgment upon an evil king and his administration. And the king sent 50 men and their captain to go get Elijah. He wanted to bring him into, like, jail. And so they came, and Elijah was sitting on top of a little peak, and they said, "Man of God, come down from there." And he said, "If I be the man of God, let fire come down from heaven and burn you up and your 50. And sure enough, that happened, and they were all sizzled. So the king, he doesn't care if he's going to lose more guys. He sends another 50 guys out there to get him with another captain. And the same thing happens. You man of God, come down from there. King wants to see you." And in all of their military prowess. And Elijah just simply said again, "If I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. And fire came from heaven and consumed them all. So the king set a third 50 to come out. You'd think that they'd begin to learn. Well, the captain of this group did learn. And he kind of came up and said, "Please, Mr. Man of God, do not be angry." It's kind of a paraphrase, but he just came on his knees, you know. I don't want to burn. And so Elijah said, "Okay, I'll come with you." And he went with him. And so that was good. So that spared the third 50. Well, God was moving in a time of judgment at that time. But you know, he sent Jesus for a different reason, didn't he? Yes, he did. And so Jesus actually had to rebuke James and John for not discerning, being discerning of spirits. For they were in the wrong spirit. And Jesus speaks to them and says, he turned and he rebuked them and said, "You know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And they just went on to another village. So this was a great lesson for actually James and John, who were referred to as the sons of thunder. The sons of thunder, because they did want to call fire from heaven. They kind of got nicknames, you know. But seeing that rebuke had to come to them, for they were in the wrong spirit. You don't know what spirit you're of. So this kind of sharpens us and helps us to know that we don't want to be in the wrong spirit, ever. But we want to have the sweet, sweet spirit of the Lord moving in our lives. Now, Peter also needed to be rebuked. And let's go to that. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. Matthew 16 and verse 21. Now, Peter just told Jesus, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And And Jesus was blessed, and he blessed Simon. He blessed Peter for that. He said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who's in heaven." And it, what a blessed time to actually come forth with such a statement of faith as God had Peter in the right spirit that time. But just a little later, Jesus began to talk about his death. And that's in verse 21 of Matthew 16. "From that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day." The disciples really didn't hear that when he said it. He said it several times before he died, that he would be raised again the third day. They no compute, no comprendo. Because after he did raise from the dead, they didn't believe it. And the women came and told him, said they just didn't believe it. And it's because they didn't receive this last part, that he would be raised from the third day. But they did hear, "I'm going to be killed." And right at that time, Peter actually grabbed Jesus Christ, if you can imagine this, and rebuked him. Can you imagine grabbing our Lord and rebuking him? And I kind of picture Peter with his big paws, grabbing him on the arms, and looking him in the face and go, "This isn't going to happen to you." Whoa. So Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from you, Lord. This shall not be unto you." But then Jesus turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Talk about being in the wrong spirit. I don't think you can get any worse than Satan. Oh, no. And so Jesus actually had to say to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me, for you savor not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." And so here even our wonderful apostle making this error, this mistake of being in the wrong spirit. And so the discerning of spirits was not there, not present, and it's a gift we need. Would you agree? We need the discerning of spirits to know when we're outside of the spirit and when we're in, and in what places we are in, to know from the Lord what's going on here. And God can give us that discerning. It's part of the gifts of the Holy Ghost and a wonderful thing. Now let's go to a positive example. After the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and as Jesus ascended into heaven and gave gifts unto men, one of those gifts was the discerning of spirits, and the Apostle Paul had that gift in a huge, beautiful way, because something very subtle happens to him, and he needed that gift of discernment to discern that this was not of the Lord when it sounded like it was. And so let's take a look at Acts chapter 16, verse 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. Acts 16, 16. 16, 16. Book of Acts. "Now it came to pass as we went to prayer." And that's Luke speaking, because Luke wrote the book of Acts. Dr. Luke, that wrote the Gospel of Luke, also wrote Acts. And he said, "we." So we see that he's talking to us as he's writing about the Apostle Paul and those with him and Luke present. It was time for prayer, the hour of prayer, the sweet hour of prayer. It's time to pray. That's what God wanted them to do. It was time to go to prayer. But as they were going, they were distracted. "A certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying," or fortune-telling. Nothing's new under the sun. I mean, on Euclid, on Brookhurst, you can find and you can see a storefront. Come in here and get your fortune told. This lady's still around today. Same one, same spirit. Spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of the devil. I want to encourage you never, ever to do that. Never get involved with mediums or Ouija boards or anything. Actually, the Lord says in Isaiah, "Do you go to the dead to seek for the living?" Shouldn't the people of God seek to the Lord for their direction and to allow the Lord to speak to us about the future? The Holy Spirit was sent to teach us all things and bring all things to our remembrance whatsoever the Lord said to us, and to show us things to come. God knows that you need to have a comfort about the future. And so he gives us in the Word and speaks to our hearts about things to come. And we all pretty much know the world's going to end, and probably not too far from now, because Banjinajab's got the button almost. And you know, he's just ready. And things are going to wrap up around here. Never in the history of the earth have we had weapons that could kill every living soul upon the planet. But we got them now. And I just think about that scripture where it says if the Lord doesn't wrap things up in a short time, there would be no person alive on the planet. I always remember that scene in The Planet of the Apes when Charlton Heston comes around the corner and sees the lamp of the Statue of Liberty sticking up out of the sand and realizes that the human race destroyed itself. And he was the only one left with a girl that he was with. He had to start over. And just goes into a temper tantrum, and that's the end of the movie. What a terrible end. But it's so great that Jesus is not going to allow that to happen, because he said, before that happens, he will shorten the time here upon the earth so that people are spared. Praise God for that lovely promise. So you don't want to be going into someone with the wrong spirit and getting some kind of future prediction. Stay away from the tarot cards and all of that business. And we don't go to mediums and seek from the dead that which God wants to give us from his life to us as living. God be blessed forever. These things are in the Bible. Just want to warn you against those things. They're advertised all the time, and we just got to skip on that. Now, this did she many days. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to read what she was saying. The same, verse 17, followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God. Is there anything wrong with that statement? No. These are Luke, Paul, and others that were with Paul's party are and were the servants of the Most High God. She was telling the truth here. And then she says, would show us the way of salvation. And that was, there's nothing that could be truer than that. So she was saying the right thing and following after them to do that. But she was interrupting what they were supposed to be doing right in the beginning there. They were going to prayer. And here's this woman to come and interrupt. And she's saying the right thing. The wrong time, wrong spirit. And we read then in verse 18, it says, and this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And so she was delivered from this spirit of interruption, this spirit of power brokering, this spirit that was Antichrist. Can you see how the gift of discerning of spirits was so necessary here? Because the words that she was saying were correct. And you know what? The devil is really, really tricky. And he will come and actually quote and use the Word of God. He did that to Jesus Christ. As he said to the Lord Jesus, it is written that he gives his angels charge over thee, lest you even dash your foot against a stone. But then he comes up with the lie. You can jump off the pinnacle of the temple here because the promise is in Psalm 91 that he'll give you, he's given his angels charge over you. And Jesus had to rebuke Satan, didn't he? And say, no, that's not right. The Bible says that I should worship the Lord, that we should worship the Lord thy God and him alone. He said that about the kingdoms and so forth. What did he say after the temptation to jump off the pinnacle? Somebody, come on. Oh, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God by jumping off. Thank you very much. That just went from me for a second. And so here we see that the devil uses scripture. Oh, yeah. And so he can give you a truth, a truth, a truth, a truth, and then lie. Because he's the father of lies. He's the father of trickery. So we must have this gift, the discerning of spirits, this is not of the Lord. I don't know what's wrong here. Something's wrong. And so then I got to move away quickly and get out of that place or not allow myself to slip into that wrong spirit. Let me tell you one of my mistakes. Like with James and John and Peter, where the Lord really needed to speak to me about it. Some of you heard this testimony before, but maybe not this part of it, that someone had thrown beer in my face, and it was on the streets, and I was with my young son when James was young. It's very embarrassing and made me really angry, as you can imagine, because the beer hit my chest and splashed up underneath my sunglasses, and it was burning my eyes. Anyway, I just thought, okay, I need to rebuke Satan here from this clown. And there's where the spirit was wrong, this clown. Because I said, Satan, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. In the spirit of anger, wrong spirit. Right thing to say, wrong spirit. And the guy just said to me, are you calling me Satan? And it just got worse. It went from bad to worse. And I'm thinking, what's wrong here? What happened? You know, why isn't the Lord rebuking Satan? The wrong spirit. Wrong spirit. You don't know what spirit you're of, Mark. You're wanting to call fire from heaven. You bet. Get him. You know, and that's actually the way I felt for about 6 months until I finally forgave the kid for doing that. And so we have to be careful. The wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. It'll never work. If you're really, really mad, you have to do what Thomas Jefferson said. Count to 10 if you're mad. Count to 100 if you're really mad. But calm down. Because if you're angry, you're in the wrong spirit. And the Lord can give you the discerning of spirits for your own life to say, you know what? You're in the wrong spirit right now. You better go home, drink some warm milk, and calm down before you approach this situation. How many speeches have you made late at night that you never deliver in the spirit of anger? Man, when I see them tomorrow, ha ha, boy! And then I'll say this, ha ha, that'll get them. Oh, yeah. And the Lord's going, so when are you going to calm down? You know, you can go to sleep after you calm down, or you can stay up and try Sominex, you know, whatever. But so we have to be careful of that. We have to be careful of the wrong spirit. You know, I'd like to warn you about watching too much TV. And even in the conservative channels, you can really get ticked off if you listen too much to these guys that are telling you everything that's wrong in the world with our country. And it's good to know that. It is. And to make it a prayer project. But balance that with a good dose of the Word. Read the Word twice as much as you listen to Bill O'Reilly or Glenn Beck. And God bless those guys, and they've got some good truth to give. But by the same token, if you feel the fires rising and you feel like you're just so mad you don't know who to hit, but you want to get somebody, anybody, and then the cat explodes with your foot or something like that, you know. You've got to take note and say, you know what? Too much. Turn it off. Rest a while. Go to the Lord. Begin to talk to Him and begin to minister to Him and love Him and allow Him to give you the right perspective again. And go in a spirit of prayer. And in whatever you can do to help, you do. And in that spirit of prayer. But watch out for the wrong spirit. You can say all the right stuff and be in the wrong spirit. So God help us with that. Amen? Good. Okay, the discerning of spirits. Very important gift. Now, the next gift that's mentioned is diverse kinds of tongues or different kinds of tongues. And I'd like to take you to the Old Testament on the prophecy that we're given that the gift of tongues would be granted to the church in the New Testament. Let's go to Isaiah 28, verse 11. Isaiah 28, verse 11. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 11. Isaiah 28, verse 11, right in the middle of the Bible, Isaiah. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people, to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet you would not hear. And there's folks that wouldn't hear that in those days, this prophetic word that God wanted a rest for us, a rest for the weary, a refreshing, and it's going to come through the stammering lips and another tongue. The gift of tongues is not a heebie-jeebie thing, and it's not something that's from Satan, as some denominations would like to say that this is a gift that's from Satan. It's not really a gift of God. But here in Isaiah, it tells that it is a gift of God, and what it really does is bring a rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. Sherry and I both have the gift of tongues, and sometimes we pray together in the gift of tongues, and you know, I just got to share a really neat experience about, talk about a rest and refreshing using the gift of tongues. We're in Hawaii with our granddaughter, Abigail. She was 10 years old then, and she has the gift of tongues. And we were sitting on the balcony looking at these beautiful mountains in Kauai. I mean, it doesn't get any more beautiful than that. It was so beautiful. And there was a flock of geese flying across a field in front of us. And we began to sing some songs to the Lord with our understanding. And then the Spirit just moved upon us to begin to use our prayer language to sing with the Spirit. And the Apostle Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 14. I will sing with my understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. And so the three of us just began to make melody using our prayer languages to worship the Lord and talk about blessing and talk about rest and talk about refreshing. I can't even begin to tell you what a blessing that was. To sing to the Lord in a prayer language that God gave each one of us together in a melody to Jesus. It was wonderful. And this is prophesied. This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet you would not hear it. Some folks are afraid of the gift of tongues. Some folks are, you know, on a bandwagon against it, and it's so sad because it's such a blessing and prophesied right here. Well, you might say, Pastor, how do you know that these scriptures in Isaiah refer to the gift of tongues in the New Testament? How do you know that for sure? Because the Apostle Paul quoted these verses in the New Testament referring to tongues in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 21. You can actually look that up and check it out. And why don't we do that right now? So let's go to 1 Corinthians 14, 21. 1 Corinthians 14, 21. In the law it is written, Paul says here, in the law it is written, and then he quotes Isaiah 28, 11, and 12. And you can see that in your study Bibles. Just check the cross-reference to 1 Corinthians 14, 21, cross-reference Isaiah 28, 11, and 12, which we just read. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all of that will they not hear me, says the Lord. So sad that some folks don't want to hear it. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, and it goes on and talks about tongues. So this is really something that God has given and prophesied in the Old Testament about. Let me give a little bit of my testimony about this. We came from a denomination, Sherry and I. She was saved in this denomination, and we were together there, and they were teaching us that tongues were of the devil. And actually, when we both received the gift of tongues, we were kicked out of the church. The pastor actually came to the house and just told, I wasn't home, and told Sherry in so many words, you know, just don't come back, you know. And so that was sad and hurtful. And of course, then we wanted to know more about these things. But anyway, I was in the school, Long Beach State College, and we belonged to a group called Inter-Varsity Christian Fellowship. And it was a non-denominational group, and we did concerts on campus and made signs and so forth. And it's before I received the gift of tongues, and the president of the organization's name was Bob Bowles. And I was sitting next to Bob at a prayer meeting, and I heard him kind of going, you know, and I looked over at him, and I said, man, is this tongues? And it's before I had tongues, but I'd been taught this is of the devil, you know. But I knew Bob so well. We'd spend all night together many times working on signs for the concerts and stuff, and just great Christian brother. So this is, wow. And so I'm all curious, right? So after we're done praying, I say, Bob, were you praying in tongues? He says, well, yeah, I was, Mark, you know. And I just started asking questions, you know, I was this little curious guy, you know, and asking all about it. And I knew he was such a man of God. I said, this, you know, the Lord was beginning to soften me up. So when we went to our first retreat with Calvary Chapel, we were baptized. And so I love you too, Mark. And he gave us those gifts. And no one can ever, ever try to tell me, this is not of the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Especially because it's in the Bible. We always check everything out in the Word of God. And so God does truly have the gift of tongues and impart that. And he does that severally as he will. And if you don't have the gift of tongues, don't want you to sit around feeling guilty or something. God's given you other gifts as you look to him and ask for the baptism of his Holy Ghost. But everyone doesn't have to speak in tongues, no. But on the other hand, please don't ever put it down, but allow others to have different gifts that God will give. And then you know, things get bigger. We begin to have a larger world vision of the Church of Jesus Christ. We begin to shake hands and hug our Pentecostal brothers and sisters and just rejoice together. It's kind of like like the Baptist Church is over here and the Pentecostal Church is over here and Calvary Chapel is kind of in the middle. And it's like, because some of the Pentecostal churches want to break the rules about the gift of tongues, and that's what I want to get into right now. Before we do that, let's go ahead and look at Acts chapter 2, where the gift of tongues is given. Did we do that yet? Sometimes when I have three services, I forget if we did something. I don't think we've been to Acts 2 yet. Let's go there. I did two weddings on the same day once. Didn't do the rings for the second wedding because I thought I already did them. Not good. Don't try that. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Let's just read it together. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, the Feast of Pentecost was a Jewish feast to celebrate the first fruits of the harvest. And again, this is a great day for the Lord to send the Holy Ghost, the birth of the church, because it's the first fruits, of the church. So the day of Pentecost was fully come. They were with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. A cloven tongue is something that looks like a tongue with a split in the middle, cloven tongue. And it was fire on each one of their heads. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And the tongues they were speaking in were languages that were understood by other folks in the world. And it was for a great reason. And it says this, there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. You know what? I'd like to see the scriptures letting us know that there aren't aliens. Every nation under heaven was gathered on this day in Jerusalem. And so, where are the aliens? Were the Martians there? Were the Venetians there? From what, the planet of Venice? No. Venus. And no. You know, I had an astronomy class that was taught by a Christian at Long Beach State. His name was Dr. Luke, of all people. Dr. Luke. Same guy that wrote Acts and the Gospel of Luke was called Dr. Luke. And he said, they discovered through light studies that 90 percent of a universe that we can see is made up of hydrogen and helium. And the only real place that we can see the elements that support life is the Earth. And so that's where I am on that. And I just thought that was an interesting verse. Every nation under heaven, we're gathered together on that day in Jerusalem. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed, and they marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans, fishermen? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherewith we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers of Mesopotamia," which is the Fertile Crescent where Iraq and Iran are, "and Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, and Asia Minor, Egypt, parts of Libya and Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes," which is converts to Judaism, "Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." And so this is all going forth powerfully and wonderfully, with all these different languages coming from people that didn't know their languages at all. The kind of guy like me, asked me can you speak Spanish? You know, I can barely speak English. You know, I'm still working on that. But God did this supernaturally, didn't he? I remember a testimony years ago at Calvary Costa Mesa. A lady came out and sat on the stage, and we're studying the gifts of the Spirit. And she said, "When I received my tongue, unbeknownst to me, it was my husband's boyhood language." That he was born in France. And he lived in a certain village with a certain dialect of French that was only spoken there. And I received that as a tongue in my baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I went home, and he was a non-believer, and he was saved in 5 minutes. Because she got home and started speaking his boyhood language, which he knew she didn't know. Isn't that something? What a testimony. Beautiful. And so God is still doing these things today. Now, it says different kinds of tongues. Interesting verse in 1 Corinthians 13:1. Let's turn to that, 1 Corinthians 13:1. First Corinthians 13:1 says this, "Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels," and then it goes on to speak about the love of God, which is the most important thing, and right centered in between the gifts of the Spirit and the instruction on how to use the gifts in chapter 14 is the love chapter, chapter 13, that should always be in love. But it says here the tongues of men, like the lady with the French, and the different ones that received. There was another testimony. This one brother received just one word, and he was kind of upset that it was really tongues, because he was just saying one word over and over again. And then the lady in back of him tapped his shoulder and said, "I'm from a different country." I believe it was, I can't remember if it was Bulgaria, Hungary. It's been many years. But she said, "You're saying Father, Father in my language over and over again." Isn't that precious? Father, Father, Father. And so different tongues of our languages here upon the earth, but it also mentions the tongues of angels. Now that's exciting. Maybe some of you that will receive a tongue will have an angelic language. You never know. But what a blessing, and how exciting to seek the Lord and ask God for whatever he would give us. You know, sometimes I think when I was baptized in the Spirit that I received a tongue of an angel, because there was no place to breathe. Doesn't that sound funny? But I would be speaking in tongues, breathing out, and speaking in tongues, breathing in. Back and forth. And I'm just going, man, I wonder if this is a tongue of an angel, and there's just no place to breathe. Kind of fun, and of course it's nothing I can prove or make dogma or anything, but it's just an interesting thought. But it is a precious thought to think that the Lord would bless us with a tongue of an angel. But these things are used, this gift of tongues is used for edification. And let's talk about that as we discuss the next gift, the interpretation of tongues. Very important that we have the interpretation of tongues. Some churches go too far with it. I said, you know, the pastor will say, as if I were to say to you, now let's everybody stand up and we're all going to speak in tongues together. And we just go off in tongues. And I've actually had Pentecostal preachers tell me, oh, bro, the Spirit was moving so heavily in our church today as we're all speaking in tongues together that I didn't have time for my sermon. But that's okay. But the Word really doesn't teach it that way. And let's take a look, okay? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14:27. 1 Corinthians 14:27. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. And that's what Bob Bowles was doing in that prayer meeting. He was praying to himself and to God. And I just happened to eavesdrop, and that's how I began to learn. But it really isn't scriptural for in the larger body of the church, when we all meet together, to all speak in tongues at the same time. The scripture actually says, and we'll get to this scripture as we get to 1 Corinthians 14, if someone comes in that's unlearned, they'll think you're crazy. So what kind of crazy meeting have I come to? And they'll run out of here and get in the car and drive off. And never come back. So it's not really biblical to do that. And I wanted to instruct you on that. And that's why we're kind of in the middle. Pentecostals, the Baptists, but Calvary Chapel's in the middle with this. We believe in the gifts, but we want the exercise of the gifts of the Spirit to be done as God instructs. Now, we love these other brothers and sisters deeply, and we want to just receive them and all that they do. But we just want to go by the Bible in the instruction that we see verse by verse to do it the right way. Now, why? Why shouldn't we really do this? Well, we're told in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. Let's just go back. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. We're getting to the end of things now. I'm speaking faster because we're getting closer to noon. And your sandwich is calling you. So let's... Amen. Boy, I hope it's a submarine sandwich, man. No. Well, let's look at chapter 14, verse 4. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. That's what we want. We want to build the church up. So we're reading prophecies like we did this morning from Isaiah, prophetic word, and speaking with our understanding so that we can edify here. Okay, I would that you all spoke with tongues. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. But rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. If there's a tongue and then the interpretation of tongues, then the church is edified. Now, if you're interested in these things and want to delve into them and seek the Lord at any time, we do have a meeting here at the church, and I've mentioned this many times. Brother Stu teaches on the gifts of the Spirit and gives opportunity to exercise the gifts. My son Jerry actually had an interpretation of a tongue in one of those meetings. And you can actually hear, it depends on what God does that night, some of these gifts exercised. It's the first Monday night of every month here in the sanctuary at 7 o'clock. And the whole meeting is dedicated to some teaching about the gifts and to wait on the Lord for what God will do with you. We don't want to be remiss in our ministry to you. As a pastor, I have the gift of teaching, and I enjoy the gifts of tongues and prophecy and so forth, but my call is to teach you the Word of God in the larger meetings without, you know, having the tongues all spoke together and so forth like the Bible says. So that's what we do on Sunday morning, Wednesday night. But we want to have a place for you to go to have an opportunity to receive what Sherry and I were just totally blessed with, you know, and others in the congregation and coming into the fullness of all God has for you. So it's another opportunity to seek the Lord with that. We read then here about tongues being for the purpose of really edifying ourselves up in the Lord. And that's one of the reasons I enjoy it so much. I will come into church And I'm in the front row there, and I'm thinking, God, in Jesus' name, build me up in you. Edify me, Lord. And I begin to speak in tongues that I might be filled with you and your power to edify and build up the church through the teaching of the word. And so that's how I use my gift. And again, with the wonderful time with family members and family members in the Lord, in doing things like singing in the Spirit. You can't buy it. You can't sell it. And it's wonderful. And it's a great blessing. So I want to just encourage you, don't be closed to anything. Let the Lord just do with you what He wants to do, and He wants to lead you in a very exciting, abundant life with Him. That's His purpose for you on the planet. And to be overflowing, to be able to minister to others and bring others to Jesus. And so there it is. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the spiritual gifts. We thank you so much, Lord, that you are not selfish with your gifts, but you give us silver packages wrapped up in strings. Lord, you bring us these fine things that we might be edified and filled with your love and your power to do what you want us to do every hour. And so, Lord, I pray for myself, my brothers and sisters, that we would never, ever hold back in unbelief, but be totally open to all that you have. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much for how you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you would like prayer for anything, and you know, if you don't know Jesus yet, oh, please, please come to the Lord before it's too late, really. Earth is getting pretty old now. It's almost time to wrap it up. But we would invite you to come to the prayer room today to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, personally, in a real wonderful way. You need to bring your sin, no doubt about it. It's not cheap grace. You come with a broken heart before God to say, Lord, I want to give you my sin. I want to turn from my sin. I want you, please, to forgive me. And He will do it. If anyone comes to the Lord, Jesus said, if anyone comes to me, there's no way I will cast him out. Don't you love that? That means any one of us at any time, we just come to the Lord. So feel free, and we invite you to come. We have Bibles for you if you need them. May the Lord bless you now, give you just a great day in Him, just walking in the Spirit, laughing in the Spirit, just blessed in the Spirit of God. God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go get that sandwich.